When warm and wet, birch bark can be folded into baskets, a container for berries or a cradle for babies. But when it's not fresh off the birch tree, bark can be unyielding, and folding can be the hardest part, according to the dozen women making baskets Monday at the Dena'ina Wellness Center in Kenai. Still, despite the technical difficulties, their instructor is singing their praises.
They're doing really good. The bark is hard. But look, they're making it anyway. They did it.
Helen Dick is a Dena'ina elder. She learned to make birch bark baskets from her grandmother, growing up in Lyme Village near Lake Clark. Now she's teaching others to make them too, one of the Monday craft classes offered through the Kenaitse tribe. She's leading by example and helping each member of the class on their own basket. But there are some things that can only be learned through experience.
But is there like a specific way to make it look nicer when you start it?
When you learn how, you can make it how you like.
Dick says her grandmother would fill birch baskets with hot water to cook food. They'd use the scraps as a pain reliever. Back home, she'll often peel bark right off the tree. But when that's not possible, bark needs to spend days soaking in water to become more malleable. Still, folding requires some patience, says class member Linda Ross.
And this bark, though, is old. It's been in a storage for a couple of years. And so it's not pliable like it should be. Like if we went out to the woods and got fresh, but you only get it in the spring.
It's a sticking point for some. Rose Gelbo accidentally tore one of the corners of her first basket when she was trying to fold them in like an envelope.
Well, the first time I tried a small one, but it didn't work out and split on me. And now this is my second time.
So far, this second time is going better than the first. Gelbo and the other students wrap another layer of bark around the top of the basket, then add a willow branch to keep the structure tall and rigid. They use clamps to keep it all in place and poke holes in both layers of bark with an awl for sewing. Barb Norbeck is careful to avoid the eyes of the bark while she pokes holes in the wood. When she's working, she's thinking about how she might use her basket. She contemplates hanging it up on the wall as decoration, or she says she could use it as a container for bread.
Yeah, because as I'm talking to you about it and giving it some thought, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to need to look up the Ojibwe word for bread, because that's the native. That's what I am, is Ojibwe, and I'm going to want that to be part of the name for this piece.
This basket is Norbeck's first. Ross is on her fourth, a wide and shallow container with a light outside and dark interior.
She learns pretty fast. Look, she did that.
With your help.
Most of the time you did it by yourself.
Yeah. Bessie Phillip, a wellness assistant at the Dena'ina Wellness Center, says classes like this are a great chance for students, many of whom are Dena'ina elders, to socialize. This fall, they made slippers and salmon skin earrings. Phillip has used birch bark to make tiny canoe figures, a small replica of the vessels that were popular among the early people of Canada and Alaska. She says it was hard to cancel the classes for COVID-19.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was so depressing.
Now they can work together again in masks and spaced out around a large conference room. Back in class, students finish the last step, sewing the top in place with sinew. Marianne Keyes carefully weaves the thin rod in and out of her small basket's edge.
It's going to go on the wall next to my son's basket that he made me several years ago before he passed on.
She says her son learned to make a basket from Dick at one of the culture camps. They learned together how to make wood-handled ulus.
It was really kind of a special time for me to be learning to do those things with my son.
She says she likes making baskets because she can create useful things from nature rather than buy containers made of plastic. The practice also means a lot to her after she was told for so much of her life she should assimilate into non-native culture.
And it's doing something that I should have learned as a little girl. My grandfather was Eastern Woodland Indian, Abenaki and Penobscot, and I never got to learn anything like that. I was always taught Catholic school stuff and regular non-native stuff. My mom and Dad seemed ashamed of my mom being Native.
Another way Keys finds connection to her Native culture, she says, is through language. She's learning to speak Tlingit. Dick is one of the few people who can still fluently speak Dena'ina, a highly endangered language. She teaches Dena'ina courses. As with language, she says, basket making involves a lot of trial and error.
We know that everything that we try to learn, we always make a mistake. But then we keep trying, and then we make it. I watch my grandma, I make a mistake. She always says, try again. Just take it out, and I try it again. So
it's a lesson that will last long after the birch bark has dried. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.